here's a story from The World.
The leader of al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri, is dead. President Biden made the announcement last night. He said Zawahiri was killed at a safe house in the Afghan capital, Kabul. The news comes almost 1 year after Biden declared the end of the war in Afghanistan. Biden said American troops have left, but the U.S. won't hesitate to go after anyone who poses a threat to its national security. The Royal Shirin Jafari begins our coverage.
For someone at the top of the world's most wanted terrorist list, Ayman al-Zawahiri managed to escape death for a long time.
I think he has very, very good personal and operational security.
Aaron Zelen is a fellow with the Middle East Institute for Near East Policy. He says Zawahiri had been involved in jihadi movements going back to the 1960s. He was born in Egypt and was a physician by training. He later became a deputy to Osama bin Laden.
They worked together on, you know, all of the plans that al-Qaeda tried to do pre and post 9/11.
After the U.S. killed Osama bin Laden in 2011, Zawahiri became the top al-Qaeda leader. He spent more than two decades on the run. Last night, President Biden said he authorized the strike that killed Zawahiri a week ago.
Justice has been delivered, and this terrorist leader is no more.
The U.S. was reportedly able to target Zawahiri when he appeared on the balcony of the house he was staying in. Aaron Zelen says that surprised him, given how careful the al-Qaeda leader had been in the past.
It's clear, though, that he finally made a mistake by feeling a little too comfortable now that the Taliban is back in control of Afghanistan.
The operation to kill Zawahiri required a lot of prep work, says Seth Jones of the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
A combination of human intelligence on the ground, so spies, that has to be married up with other types of all-source intelligence collected from signals, phones, computers.
Jones, who worked on counterterrorism operations, says drones played a key role.
They can loiter for long periods of time over the target and collect information, including video imagery of the target.
But Douglas London, who retired from the CIA in 2019, having served 34 years, says drones are only helpful when they have a starting point.
They can't just know where to go without being guided there. Generally, start points are provided by human sources.
That means people on the ground with reliable information. London, who is now with the Middle East Institute, says by moving to Kabul, Zawahiri made his location known to a lot more people.
The Western intel community's services are strongest in Kabul. There's still Westerners in Kabul. There's still not necessarily U.S. intel boots on the ground, but it's also a busy city with lots of communications.
Former Afghan official and writer Tabesh Farooq says he wasn't surprised at all that the head of al-Qaeda was living in the heart of Kabul, not far from the former U.S. embassy.
We have always been telling the world that these terror networks have been interconnected, intertwined.
As part of the deal that set the stage for the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, the Taliban agreed not to allow groups like al-Qaeda to operate freely. But Farooq says he never trusted the Taliban to keep that promise, and he was surprised that the U.S. did.
If after 20 years of the U.S. engagement in Afghanistan, you still have the lead of al-Qaeda back in Kabul, hosted by the Taliban, it means that something was fundamentally wrong about the strategies, policies, and operations of the war on terror.
Farooq says it also means that the U.S. might have withdrawn its troops from Afghanistan, but that the war continues from the skies. For The World, I'm Shirin Jafari.